Hey, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting on the traditional unceded territory of the Musqueam people. This is Chaotic Music Meetings. I'm here with Paisley Eva. Hi, Paisley.
Hey.
We're going to chat for an hour and play some songs, talk about DJing, talk about Dame. But, well, right now, I'm going to play my theme song. And Paisley, if you want to help me out with this a little bit, if you feel like singing along, sing along.
I think I can sing along.
It's a little bit chaotic, but, well, here we go. We don't need to play it twice.
That's three good times. Encore.
All right. This is like literally how it goes so far.
It's funny because you named it Chaotic Music Meetings, and I feel like you cursed yourself.
I know. It's working out perfectly,
this
really.
This is like 10th time the charm for this episode with me and you.
I know.
I also had a chaotic morning, and I was like, Miles, like, shook my little fist in the air.
I think I've cursed everyone here.
You just bring chaos along with you?
Yeah, I guess.
It's good. It's the worst things
it's
you could
do. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy now. So we're here. This is CITR 101.9 FM. Chaotic Music Meetings. It's all working. It's here now. It's happening.
I love it. I'm so thankful to be here.
Thank you for being here, DJ Paisley Eva. Biggest star to ever come on my show.
Flew in from Copenhagen last night. That's not true.
Why was your morning so chaotic? Or do you not want to get into that?
No, I think I just slept in for the first time and then, like, just felt like crazy and weird about it and then was like, decided to, like, take some time, like, watch some Netflix, and then I was like, oh, you have to be there in an hour and for, like, 10 minutes.
Right.
So, like, threw some stuff in a backpack. Also, like, didn't even know I owned a backpack anymore, and then, like, ran to the 84 wearing my backpack, like, on the way to the UBC, and I was like,
it's your first time sleeping in ever. It's your first time wearing a backpack. It's your first time running with a backpack.
My first time taking a bus.
Right. So, big day of firsts.
Yeah. And now I'm here at CTR, which is actually, I've never been here before. Hmm. It's great. I'm usually at a No Fun Radio, which is the size of a closet here, I feel.
Yeah, it's a little different. Shout out to No Fun Radio, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, the best.
You've been doing some good work with them.
Yeah, definitely. I started doing a show, Our Pleasure, there in October. Yeah, and just have been with them ever since. Mm. Yeah.
It's a good crew there.
Yeah.
But we're here mainly to talk about Dame.
Yeah.
Can you give me just like a brief overview for the listeners, like if they haven't heard about Dame at all, what's
for
Dame
sure.
all about?
Dame's a night in Vancouver that I helped put on. It's an all-girl, all-vinyl night geared towards kind of the amateur side of things. So we take girls who have vinyl or love music who have never DJed before, and we kind of show them how to, and then we throw on these nights where they play and everyone dances and it's great. And we started that in October, and we just had our 20th brand new Dame come through, which is so exciting.
Like your 20th DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that we thought that we would do like 24 in a year.
Oh, wow.
But or 3 months early at 20, so I think our goal is well in sight.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say, like, wow, that's an ambitious goal for the year, but
yeah.
You've already met it. Nice. Well, that's cool that, like, it's it's almost like a DJ induction course. Like, you get to know, like, DJ 101 stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And we're all learning together. I mean, like, I didn't start Dame because it was, like, I had been doing it for, like, years and years and years and, like, finally felt like I needed to give back. Like, it kind of started out of necessity. Like, I had been doing vinyl DJing in Vancouver for a year and a half and, like, hadn't DJed, like, with another woman before and just, like, was treated really well by a lot of people and also treated, like, really horribly by a lot of people. And it was, like, a necessity that, like, I needed and the community needed to, like, have more female vinyl DJs. Yeah, it's great. I learned, like, more from them than they learned from me. Just teach them how to put a needle on a record and press play. And they're, like, take it, like, so much farther. And, yeah. Mm.
That's so cool. Like, we're at CITR right now, we're having a lot of meetings about diversity initiatives.
Yeah.
And trying to improve the diversity of our, like, on-air representation.
Definitely.
And, like, a while back, we, like, well, CITR introduced FemCon as a category that programmers can track.
Yeah.
It's like there's a little FemCon sticker that gets put
on
all the albums.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
if a band explicitly identifies as femme content.
Yeah.
Or female content, I should say. And that was sort of developed out of what the CITR crew saw as, like, a male-dominated mainstream.
For sure.
And this is, like, a direct action to counter that.
Yeah.
And is Dame kind of a similar, does it come from a similar need?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. It's also, I feel like, as women in arts and music and anything, like, it's really hard and you're constantly being judged and worrying about, like, not being, like, good enough. Or, like, I remember when I first started, like, I was brand new at it. Like, I was making mistakes, obviously, and it got to a point where, like, I loved it so much, but, like, I didn't want to do it anymore because, like, I wasn't feeling, like, safe in the spaces that I was DJing or safe with the people I was DJing with, and there was no, like, encouragement there. It was all felt very, like, judgy, and, like, I felt like I wasn't really, like, being, like, included or accepted, and it got to the point where, like, I was going to stop, and then instead started Dame.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's discouraging, for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I feel like a lot of times, like, a lot of, like, men are told that, like, they can make mistakes and they, like, can do that. And, like, that's totally fine. Like, it's still going to be, like, their world. But that's not true.
So, like, a lot of this seems to be about, like, creating an environment for female DJs.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think of music as a very physical thing. Like,
yeah.
When you're at a show and there's music playing, even if it's just, like, someone's iPod, like, playing through the sound system, it is physical vibrations, like, interacting with the environment and interacting with you as a person, as another physical object.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like, what kind of environment are you trying to create with Dame? Like, what kind of space do you want it to be?
For sure. I mean, I've always wanted it to be a really safe space, but also just, like, a really open space. Like, I've always wanted to thrive for there to be, like, no aspect of, like, it seeming, like, pretentious or it seeming like you need to bring, like, the coolest music that nobody's heard of, that, like, you can only buy, like, one copy. And, like, the DJ scene for a long time, I think, has been that. And we've always tried to change that and just be, like, play what you love. And, like, that's what's going to go over really well. Like, you can play something, like, so goofy that, like, nobody's heard for, like, so long, and, like, people are going to go, like, crazy for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we've gotten to that point. I think that from the beginning we've gotten to that point of just, like, also, like, with records, like, it's kind of, it's, like, it's beautiful and it's also archaic and it's also something that has been, like, dominated by, like, the same people for, like, so long, who, like, have these huge record collections and, like, weren't really sharing how to, like, spin records with anyone else because they just kind of wanted to keep it in and keep it very, like, like exclusive. And then as soon as we opened it up and we like had these like really cool young women bringing us their like the music that they love that they've collected for years, like it was just like wild. It was crazy. Like the stuff that they were playing, like there was stuff that like I'd never heard before, but then also they would play like Hey Mickey and like everyone would be like, yeah, like I haven't heard this song like in so long.
I love being at a Dame event when Heart comes on.
Yeah.
It's so great. It's like being at a karaoke party.
For sure. Yeah. No, it's opening it up. Like you're opening up like before it was maybe there was like 20 people's record collections were like being shown off. It was very about like showing off and like outdoing each other, like the level of coolness. And then like we can come in and be like, yeah, I'm gonna play Heart, and like you're all gonna freak out, you know, like because everyone loves it.
And it seems like such an like earnest night, like everyone's there just to share music and have a great time
and dance. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And it's so like it's so refreshing because it's not like the typical like cool guy scene.
Yeah, I always feel like uncomfortable in those scenes, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not wearing a beanie and I like not drinking PBR and I'm like like I don't know how to nod my head to this like cool track. Because like when I go out, like I want to dance and I want to have fun and I want to sing and I want to be. There's something so like silly and childlike about like singing and dancing and jumping, and it doesn't have to be this like very like cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I might have actually talked about this on another show, but I love dance.
Yeah.
And I love it as a way of, like, getting, like, to interacting with your own body and your body interacting with the environment. Like, I always try to, when, like, encourage people to dance, not to, that's not right. I don't tell people to dance, and I hate that, but.
I demand people must dance.
When people ask me about dance and what I think of it,
yeah.
I try to explain that it's like I just try to move according to how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And it's not about like thinking about what you look like on the dance floor and how cool you look or how lame you look.
Yeah.
It's just about like how do you feel in the moment and how do you want to move to that?
I mean, there's something that's similar with that with DJing. And I remember when I first started it, you get this feeling when you're making like 100 people dance. And it's just so good, and you're making them dance to, like, something that you love. And it was just, like, such a great, amazing feeling. And I just, like, almost couldn't understand, like, why it took me, like, so long to, like, get to that point. Like, that I had never gotten an opportunity before to do that, or that nobody I knew who had these amazing music collections were getting that opportunity, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's such a great feeling. I feel like when I first started, like, the first time it happened, it was like, oh, well, what can I play next that's going to make them dance more?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, what can I play next to make them dance more? And a lot of the times, like, I think that the new dames and dames get that same feeling, and they just, like, build it up. Like, that's why those Redgate dance parties are, like, so insane, because you just have, I don't know, yeah.
I want to take a little break and play a song or two, just because we need to, like, cool down, step back a bit. Do you have something ready to go? Can we put something on?
Yeah, I was going to play song Yuppies. It's by this act out of Victoria called Strict Daddy. That's Teresa and Molly and Jafie and Zane. They're actually not, they did like one EP and then kind of are taking a hiatus. But I first saw Teresa play with Miff Neighbors. And they were drumming, and then I was like, whoa, like, they are so cool. They're just, like, this, like, fiery little redhead. And then they got up, and they, like, front woman for a little bit, and it was just, like, I hadn't been, like, so inspired in so long. So, yeah, this is Yuppies by Strict Daddy.
Cool.
Just move me free. your plastic toy. Further steps, I found another of the same species, different color. Look distances, I can see the skyline. Then I will not remember.
It won't bother me.
Flavor crystal. Flavor crystal. Flavor crystal. Flavor crystal.
Hey, we're back. CITR 101.9 FM. Paisley and Miles.
Sit in a tree.
Nice song choice. I like that one.
Yeah, they're both great. The other one's Suburban Lawn's a real staple in my DJing repertoire and also in your sets.
Cheers.
Cheers to that.
Yeah, I love Suburban Lawn's. That's like the funnest music to play. Like, not even to listen to, but just to, like, physically play on the guitar.
Yeah.
Like, just super fun.
Yeah, those super, like, boppy, post-punk.
I love anything boppy. Boppy is one of my favorite words.
You could be DJ Boppy if you ever started.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I didn't become DJ Boppy for this show.
You still can.
I want to talk about song choices. Like, when you're DJing, how expressive are you of yourself? Like, do you find that you get to express yourself through the choices you make, through the songs that you choose? Or are you really, like, are you just trying to interact with the audience, like, and trying to get them to dance?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm really quite expressive, almost maybe too much at some points. it's finding a good balance, though. Like, it's reacting to the audience, but also, like, helps so much to, like, bring your own feelings and, like, kind of, like, how you're feeling. Like, if you're feeling, like, really down and you're playing, like, a boppy set, like, it's going to come across, like, disgenuine, I think. Sometimes I think I can do it too much. Like, if I'm really happy, the set is really energetic and really And if I'm mad, sometimes the sets can be, like, really punky and really, like, a lot heavier. Or, like, if I'm sad, like, I don't know, that Valentine's Day set was just like the most depressive set of my life. But you got to get to a point where like you're doing that, but you're also like controlling it. So I'm not like playing like Walking on Sunshine on repeat when I'm happy, or right. like, you know, the Sex Pistols on repeat when I'm sad, but like, or mad, or finding a balance between the two, I think, is so important and such a big part of like being a good DJ.
I think that's so cool that that it's based on your mood. And to some extent, like any performer, it is like if you're in a shitty mood, you might just like take it easy or like play a kind of chill set.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you find that this is like therapeutic for you, DJing? Like are you just stressed out for shows, or do you feel energized by it too?
I do like a roller coaster kind of effect where I'm really stressed out and then I feel like really good and happy while it's going. So it kind of balances itself out for sure. But I don't think I could do it like if it wasn't like expressive at all. Like if I was doing kind of like the mainstream club circuit and like everything that you're playing is like based on like what is big on the radio right now and like what people like want to hear, like I think I would just stop.
Right. Yeah, you're not the kind of DJ who like goes around every weekend to ski resorts and, you know, makes $20,000 a weekend.
I could have just flown in from Copenhagen if that was me, perhaps.
Right. And maybe it'll bloom into that. Who knows? And because you're like, this is a programmer, you're teaching new people about DJ skills. How does that work? Like, how do you teach people to become more comfortable DJing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about building confidence. We recently like got our own studio space and our own equipment, so it's like available for the girls like whenever they want to come by. So we usually try to do like a solo session with them, and then we'll do a session with them and the other new dame. Then we'll do a session with them and like a few other people. So kind of build it up that way. Also giving them the basics and showing them like multiple ways they could do it, and also just a lot of time to just like play. So a lot of time they'll build their first set and then they'll come in and like try it a bunch of times and like make mistakes and mess up and find really beautiful things and like find things that like sound great. And we're always there to like really cheer them on, and the studio is like always filled with just like screaming and cheering and dancing, and just I feel like the confidence like really gets built in there. So when they are put in front of an audience and they are there, like they have run through their set so many times, they know what they're doing, they like have just like this really excited team behind them, and they also know that like if they like mess up at all, like we're all there to cheer for them like even louder than if they did the like perfect mix, you know.
I really love this new trend that's developing in town where people are really celebrant of failure. Like anytime a band plays and like messes up and has to stop during a song, everyone goes woo. Like
it's
a real positive response.
No, for sure. And we all are just learning, and like those mistakes are like what's gonna make them like a really, really good DJ. And like those mistakes are so important, and like I've done them and I'm still doing them, and like it's just like a really cool gear shift to just be like, mistakes are great, mistakes are fine, mistakes are how you grow.
Cool. It seems like it can be a real stressful gig, and performing in any sense is stressful. Like I get butterflies before every gig.
Yeah.
And that's never changed. It's just always been the same level of anxiety.
Yeah.
Do you have any special methods for dealing with stress, or is it just like the sort of thing where it works out throughout a set?
I don't know. I mean, with Dame specifically, like I think I get a lot of anxiety, like throwing events more. Like I'm very much the like catastrophizer who's like, no one's gonna show up, blah 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 blah. But I work with like Hannah Karen on this project from Necking and from Being Great, and just like having like someone who's like your partner in something is so great and so nice. So when I'm freaking out, they're there to be like, hey, like, it's cool, like, everything's cool, and, like, vice versa. So having that kind of, like, person that you can go to, like, especially specifically, like, with a project has just been, like, helped so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you really have each other's backs a lot.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's a big part of this program.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and that's also, like, a really new thing, or, like, a newer thing in the last few months. Also really exciting because, like, Hannah was the first dame we brought in. So
right.
She was started in, like, program one and now is, like, 20 girls later, like, pretty much my boss.
Right. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And what an incentive for people who want to get involved. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of space to really, like, to not master this, but to get really competent at it and gain a lot of confidence.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. We were briefly talking about representation, and, like, that's a big part of DAME, like, trying to have really diverse and inclusive participation.
Yeah, for sure.
How do you sort of navigate that? Like, you're the one who's sort of in charge of that, I guess,
mm-hmm.
of trying to maintain diversity. And how does that work? Like, what's your process?
That's funny because when he's like, I've been thinking about, like, a lot recently, and I think that in the beginning, not that there wasn't diversity, there definitely was, but I don't think that there actually, like, was enough when we first started DAME. I think that I had this kind of thought where I'm like, I'm, like, a woman of color, like, this is a femme event, like, that's diversity. And then got to a point recently where I was like, no, like, because you are a woman of color and because this is a femme event, like, you have to work, like, extra hard to, like, lead that example to other events. So making sure that, like, every lineup is, like, diverse in, like, race and age and these different things. And I don't think there's a process. I think it's just doing it. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's not, like, it's not something you need a process for. It's not something that's, like, actually really hard. Like, the people are out there. Like, you just have to do it.
But you have to be making, like, conscious decisions
to do
about
it.
Diversity.
Yeah, exactly. And you're trying to get there. I think that, like, yeah, it's so difficult. Like, it's such, like, I don't know. I think that when I made the realization that, like, I felt like DAME, like, should be more diverse, it was, like, a few things happened. Like, records are really expensive. Like, the equipment is really expensive. Like, since we've gotten, like, this new space that's our own, like, we can have them there at any time, where before we were using different people's spaces. And, like, it was very specific times that, like, people, like, couldn't do if they were, like, working a lot. Or, like, with the records, like, having now we have, like, a record kind of pool that girls, like, who don't have as many records as others can come and kind of, like, pull and use some of our records. And
mm-hmm.
I think that really helped with, like, making it more, like, accessible, which then equaled it to kind of become more diverse at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, that's a great resource, being able to, like, pool your records
together. Yeah, and definitely being like, oh, yeah. No, it's been great. We just did, like, the last day, and we had some girls who kind of used the record pool, and it went really well, and their sets were so incredible, and, like, they were so great, but they wouldn't really have been able to participate without being able to kind of pull from the collection.
Right, yeah. Cool. I'm going to take another little break. I want to play a song.
Yeah, please.
This is kind of funny. You won't be able to find this track anywhere. but it's by a local group, and I'm not even going to tell you their name. it's a real mystery track. This is a cover of an Aqua song. it's just kind of my new favorite thing. But yeah, this is Cartoon Heroes.
Do the things you wanna see, frame by frame, to the extreme. This is Lauren.
Hey, it's Eleanor.
I'm Nelly.
We're my wife.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Dreaming up. Well, now.
warned you.
Hey, we're back. Just got a warning that that song ended.
It was after the song ended.
Yeah, it's all good.
That was putting, putting at the start, putting one of my favorite bands. They're just so good.
Yeah, they were in on Ben Lai's show live from Thunder River Radio Hill a few weeks ago.
Whoa,
that was a great performance.
Cool.
Check that out on our podcast.
Cindy the drummer did two dames, and was just so good, so mm-hmm. great. Showed up to Red Gate in like full Kiss makeup.
Yeah.
And like hair just like sticking up, and I was like, wow, I'm so happy we're friends. And then after that was Aunt Sally, which is like a 1980s post-punk project out of Osaka that's just really cool and woman-led and a big inspiration.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were talking during the break off mic about how like one part of Damon that's cool to you is that a lot of people that you really looked up to starting out in the scene you're now working with.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Cindy from Pudding.
Yeah.
And like Hannah from Necking.
Yeah. I've known Hannah for a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, or like Bella and Meg from BB. And yeah, no, it's really cool. It's really cool being like inspired by music and then like loving bands so much and like looking around and being like, oh, like these are pals. Mm-hmm. Like, the other day I was like walking down the street listening to Pale Red. And I was like, wow, I love this song. And then I was like, wow, and I love these people. And it's wild. It's a really cool feeling.
I don't know what Pale Red has to do with that, but thank you for the plug.
No, but just that like you can like be inspired and like really love people's music that like are also your pals.
Mm-hmm.
That was just the last example I had.
Cheers. We are good pals. I have this like half written question for you.
Yeah.
I prepared a list of questions, and this is the last one on there that I couldn't really figure out how to word, so I'm just gonna give a try it out now, because I want to talk about DJing and transitions, like
okay.
DJing as like the art of transitions.
Yeah,
because that's a big part. When I've never really DJed before. One time I did a set at Red Gate where I was just playing files off my phone. and I did no transitions. Like,
yeah.
I was not mixing between songs
yeah.
at all. And I'm just interested in that. Like, I think it's one of the things that people don't usually think about DJing. Like, a lot of the kind of, like, lame criticisms that I hear about DJing is that, like, oh, don't you just, like, press play on an iPod?
Yeah, press play DJ.
And it's so much more work than that. Because from the one experience that I had just playing songs from my iPod, I didn't really think about how I would have to be focused for an entire set, which can be up to like however many hours, however
yeah.
long you're DJing. You have to be so focused on every transition, what's happening between songs, and how that affects the mood in the room. So can we just generally talk about that? Like, what
yeah.
do you think about how long did it take you to get comfortable with transitions, and what do you think of them?
No, they're cool. They're great. I think it took a while. It took a while for me to, like, start practicing them and then to start implementing them. But it's gotten to, like, a point where you get to this, like, really exciting point where you're, like, listening to music, but you're like listening to it differently. So like you hear like the bass line in this one song is like the same bass line in this other song, and like how exciting would it be to like splice them together? Or once you get to that point, like it's so fun, and the like possibilities are like so endless, and you're also just thinking about music differently. Like you're not thinking about like a song or an album, like you're thinking about like songs and like how they fit into other songs. And it gets to this really exciting point where you're like so excited about the fact that like you just realize that this song sounds similar to keyboards to this song, and like how can you mix them together, and like what point do you mix them? And vinyl, it's really interesting because other forms of DJing that are like electronic, they're giving you kind of like the beats per minute, and they're letting you be able to sync the beats per minute, so it gets to this point where it's super difficult. But also with vinyl, like you don't really have that as much, like you don't really have those like rulers or like kind of like helpers. So it's all very by ear and by hand and just like making mistakes and like playing, listening to two songs like over and over and over and over again and like seeing like how they mix together and like finding like the perfect point that they just sound like super harmonious and yeah, it's cool. I'm getting to a point now where I'm like comfortable enough with the basics that I'm just like having like so much fun with the transitions and so much fun with like placing songs with different songs.
You must have to know your personal collection really well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's even like when you're first starting and you, the first thing like we like teach the girls is just like, which is the first thing that I ever learned was like, you find the first beat, you quarter turn back, and when you're ready to like transition, you're like pressing play on the other guy and you're turning it down. So it's kind of like the song starts as the other song stops. And even that, which is super simple, it's like you need to know your music so well. You need to know like when this song ends or when you want to cut it. And you need to know that like the guy isn't going to come in singing like while you're trying to transition it. And once you master that, it's kind of like the possibilities are pretty endless. And I'm still super learning, but I'm having a really fun time with it. And making mistakes, which are cool.
Yeah. You heard it here first. Mistakes are cool.
This episode sponsored by Mistakes.
Good stuff. I don't have another question ready right now, so I'm going to go to another song.
Yeah, for sure.
Can I play this Hazy track? Because we both wanted to play it.
I was going
to
play it, but I guess you can play it.
Well, it could be both of us. We can even, if you want to come over here, we can touch play at the together. Same time. this is off an album released by Agony Club. This is Hazy, who's a good friend of the station. And a song from their album Four Letter Word called Home Alone.
Of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 for discounts on Main Street at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Biltmore Cabaret, Red Cat Records, Lucky Comics, The Wallflower Modern Diner, Neptune Records, The Rag Machine, The Regional Assembly of Text, and so many more.
Girl likes the boy, but I like the girl too. the girls that dance with the girls, but the boys won't dance.
I'm tired of being a mother. Make a bed before we go to sleep.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and I'm here with DJ Paisley Eva from Dame.
Hey.
Hey. We were talking about transitions earlier. Nice work on the transitions between those two songs.
Aw, thank you.
We're really getting to see your skills.
My skills. Those necking, great. So great. And then...
I love necking.
Just looks so good. And then before that were The Waitresses, which was an old favorite of mine. Patty Donahue is the singer. They're just so cool. And like when I was younger, I was like, that's everything.
Have you heard of Bad Waitress?
No.
They're a new all-girl punk band from out east.
Whoa.
We've got their album here.
It's
called Party Bangers Volume 1. It's really good.
That's everything. That's everything I want to hear in one
sentence.
Yeah,
right? When that came in the mail, I was like, oh, snap. I only said snap because I, at the last second, remembered I should not swear.
Can you not swear?
I don't know. I think it's like we get away with it, but technically we're supposed to, as Shitlord Fuckerman says, don't swear.
That's fair. I remember that was like my thought when I was on the bus. I was like, can I swear? But no, it's cool. I don't need to. I don't need swearing to have a good time.
That's right. And thank you for restraining yourself. This show is called Chaotic Music Meetings. We never swear. We don't do it. It's not good for you.
Chaotic's not a swear word.
No. What are we doing? What's happening now? We wanted to talk about the new space.
Oh, yeah. We have a new space.
Yeah. It's 550 Malkin. It's a ginormous, looks like a warehouse. When I was there
for a warehouse.
Yeah, okay.
They didn't, like, build up a building to look like an old, torn-down warehouse.
But it looks crazy. It looks like Inland Empire. Like,
yeah.
It looks like it's the shady, like a movie set almost,
yeah.
Like a movie studio.
I mean, I say this a lot, and people always just stare at me blankly, but it used to be an avocado factory.
What?
Yeah,
I'm
not like
currently staring at you blankly.
Like people would ship avocados there, and they would like sort avocados and like send them places.
So it's like an avocado processing,
yeah,
plant.
Kind of like what we're doing with female DJs.
Oh my god,
having them sent to us, fixing them out, selling them over to Costco to be sold. That's not true. But yeah, we have this new space, our studio's there, and we're also throwing parties there the last Friday of every month at a space we're calling the Bunker. Mm. So it's kind of this like big, long part where the trucks used to come in and like grab the avocados, and now we're throwing parties in it.
Nice.
We just had our first one, and it was so wild and crazy and super great. And our next one's going to be the last Friday of the month. Next month, which is... This is me stalling so I can look at my phone. July 27th.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Congratulations on the new space. That's, like, really encouraging to see new spaces opening up in Vancouver anywhere. Like.
No, for sure. I'm really excited. And the space is really great. It's run by really incredible people.
Yeah, who do you share it with?
Upstairs, it used to be, like, it is an office. It looks like an office. There's mm-hmm. even cubicles in the middle. So there's a bunch of different artists. There's a lot of graphic designers, or there's a painter, there's some like tattoo artists, there's a woman who does like plants, and then there's us, and we're a lot louder than everyone else. And then the other parties are being thrown, so like Man Up's being thrown there, Queers and Beers is thrown there now, so I think it's definitely going to be quite the spot this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's great that you got in there just at the beginning of the summer, because, like, holy shit, Lord, that's going to be a great time. we've just got time to, like, plug Dame a little bit and then play another song, and then that'll be it. And then Arts Report is up next, so stick around and listen to that, because that's a brilliant show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you want to say to, like, prospective dames, like anyone who wants to get involved?
Yeah, I would say do it. We'd love to have you. I don't know. I'm really excited for, like, this summer and the growth, and just kind of even, like, how much past dames have, like, stepped up and are, like, ready to, like, help teach and, like, support any new dames who want to be involved.
And is this exclusive to people who are female identifying?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. But we use, like, a very, like, females, very open version of that word.
Okay. Can you tell me just a little bit about that?
So it's not just, like, you have to, I don't know, like, the right wording. It's very open, though. It's not, like...
But you like, accept trans DJs and non-binary DJs?
There we go. That's what I was trying to say.
Cool.
We just use, like, a very, like, open term of the word female,
right.
And I definitely would love anyone who wants to come join us to Beautiful. Come hang out.
Paisley, Eva, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Do you want to play a song to take us out, or should I put one on?
Do you have one ready?
I've got one ready.
Yeah, take us away.
Okay, cool. This is a track. It's very, very new. Well, new to the station, anyway. This is by Nasty Weather, and it's called Heaven. Thank you for being here. This has been Chaotic Music Meetings. Thank you, Paisley. Everyone, have a beautiful night. No. I'll get it sorted. Hold on a second.
This is a chaotic part of the music meeting.
Yeah. This is just business as usual. Oof.
and I see my babies in there. Tell me